The logistics of holiday, not shopping, but shipping.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and the economy. The British Prime Minister this morning called for new limits on immigration, saying people who come to the UK from other parts of the European Union need to find a job within 6 months or they're out. A central thesis of the EU is freedom of movement, and the Prime Minister's move is a little like if Texas were to put limits on immigrants from Oklahoma or Kansas. The BBC's Russell Padmore is following this from London. Good morning, Russell.
Good morning to David.
Russell, if the British Prime Minister's policies are adopted, tell me about this. Immigrants to Britain would have to get a job quickly?
Yes, that appears to be the case. It surely is a huge political issue, but also maybe an economic issue too, because many say it is a bit of a drain on the British economy. Now, here's what David Cameron actually said a little earlier.
Immigration benefits Britain, but it needs to be controlled, it needs to be fair, and it needs to be centred around our national interest.
Now, David, you can see the British Prime Minister is pointing to the fact there's nothing wrong with immigrants coming here to look for work, but they have to add to the economy. They are of benefit, but there needs to be some sort of control over it.
Now, indeed, freedom of movement is a central principle of membership in the European Union. If these policies move forward, some of Britain's European partners might not take kindly to this.
Union. Now, if re-elected, the Prime Minister David Cameron there has actually promised to renegotiate Britain's ties with the European Union before maybe going to the British people with an in or out referendum in 2017 as to whether the UK may stay as a member of the EU. He wants this particular issue about migrants forced to top of the agenda so that he can show to the electorate here that he's quite serious about doing something.
The BBC's Russell Padmore in London. Thank you for this.
David, thanks.
In the U.S., retailers insist today's the day to shop. It's also the holiday shipping season. Tim Fitzsimmons reports on some of the logistical challenges this time of year.
A holiday season surge in demand for a hot new product can catch a small business off guard, says Lisa Elram, a professor in supply chain management at Miami University.
If you're wrong about the type of volume that you're going to have and you really need to meet that volume quickly, like around the holidays, it's very, very expensive.
That's exactly what happened to Brian Berger.
It was a complete nightmare, both from the standpoint of the time and effort, but also from a customer experience perspective.
That was back in grad school when he and his wife tried to do the shipping and handling for their tote bag business. These days, he's CEO of Mack Weldon, an online menswear retailer. His company uses what's known as a fulfillment center, Quiet Logistics.
Outsourcing it to a professional, people who are constantly thinking about this every day, day in and day out, to me is just a no-brainer.
At fulfillment centers, people, or robots, roam a gigantic warehouse, grabbing products and getting them packaged and sent out. They also deal with returns. I'm Tim Fitzsimmons for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. The 100 share index in London is down 0.7%. Did you hear that even though the British don't have Thanksgiving, they now have Black Friday? It's been imported from America. Some minor skirmishes were reported during the sales today, including in Manchester, England. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed at the moment. Yesterday on the Thanksgiving holiday itself, an estimated 26 million went shopping at stores that chose to open up and ask or order employees to work. 26 million is a quarter of the people who watched the last Super Bowl. We have an update now on a relic of an information age gone by. In this internet Wikipedia era, Encyclopedia Britannica stopped printing books 2 years ago to focus on selling products to schools. The content was password protected. Schools needed to pay to get Britannica content for students. But now there's a further shift, unlocking parts of that paywall and bringing in advertising. Nova Safo reports from Encyclopedia Britannica's headquarters in Chicago.
The first thing you realize about the people at the Encyclopedia Britannica is that they love the printed page.
What you see on the walls here are copperplate engravings from a first edition Britannica. Now, we actually publish a replica of the first edition.
Those are almost 250-year-old engravings. And that's Tom Pinellas. He's Britannica's spokesperson in charge of escorting around nosy reporters at their headquarters.
we have this library of our own right here.
This is how I found your building, the giant windows with lots of books in it.
And you said that's got to be the place, right? Yeah.
The stash of research books now feed content to an all-digital encyclopedia. John Cunningham, one of Britannica's online editors, says there's been a cultural shift. They're paying more attention to what people are searching for online, such as during the Malaysian Airlines Flight 370 disappearance last spring.
We have a lot of coverage of the geography of the region, and people were coming and wanting to find out, okay, where is Malaysia? Where is the Indian Ocean? Where is that point that they're talking about on the news?
The goal is to become a destination for popular internet search topics by offering relevant, curated content. Britannica wants to build its audience up, but company president Jorge Kaus says their paywall had been getting in the way.
If you were to find Britannica in the past, you would actually click on the link of Britannica and you would find that Britannica, instead of giving you the answer, was asking you for a credit card number.
Offering content for free has reduced that obstacle. And Britannica says viewership is up. It's almost tripled in the last 2 years. And that will help Britannica go after more digital advertising.
The capacity for advertising dollars of our database, it's about $4.5 to $5.5 billion.
Kaus gets that eye-popping number from the ad money he says other websites make, providing information similar to what Britannica offers. If Britannica can capture just a portion of those billions, the company says its encyclopedia will once again thrive. In Chicago, I'm Novosoffo for Marketplace.
And the latest crackdown by government media regulators in China, no puns, please, were Chinese. Wordplay, like puns, are, quote, contradictory to traditional Chinese culture. Sometimes the puns in advertising and beyond are visual, playing off the shape of Chinese characters. By the way, there's an excellent book for pun lovers internationally, if you're interested. It's called The Pun Also Rises. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our online digital producer is Tobin Lowe. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.